Amen. And I read scripture this morning. I want to read another one that's just very, very close to it. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And I don't know if we could pull this off, but it would be a lot of fun, and I would enjoy doing it, is if we took the church van and went for, it would take us a day to get there and a day to be there and then a day to get home. So it would take us about 3 days. But I would like to take the church van and take the young people to Kentucky where the Ark is at and the Creation Museum. Young people. Oh, praise the Lord. Getting some extra amens all of a sudden. How many of you would like to do that? I don't know if it's possible, but how many of you would like to do that? All right, I would like to do that. And parents, those of you that are parents of these young people, talk about this and let me know very quickly, because it's only just a short time and school's going to be starting again, and we'd like to do that before school starts, sometime here in early August or so. If we could pull that off, we could even use one of our vehicles if the van is not enough. But I think we might be able to pull this off and do it here right at the end of the summer. I think it'd be fun. All right, let me know tonight if you can. If not, let me know Wednesday night, and we'll see if we can put together and make some arrangements for that. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. I want to read down through verse 13 tonight. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Now, this was a tax collector. I've already talked about this morning. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. 1 Timothy 3:15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Everybody said, "The pillar and the ground of the truth." Pillar and the ground of the truth. He's talking about the church, the house of God, how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church, where we are here tonight, the church of the living God. Amen. Some folks say, well, it's not a house. Those folks that don't believe in having a church to worship in, it's amazing, they meet in a house. Or they rent a facility. I'm thankful for our church. Praise God. Thankful for a place where we can come and worship the Lord, beautiful place, and we can just have good church. Amen. But I see here two things, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. I want to talk about the two halves of the church. The two halves of the church. Praise God. We've got to have this. If we don't have it, we're not complete. Amen. But I want us to be complete. To be complete in Him. To grow up into Him. To be what He wants us to be as a church. Amen. As a church. Not just an individual, but as a church. Praise God. Because God has called us here. Amen. God has called us here to this place for this hour, for this time. Amen. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth tonight. Ask you to anoint the Word of God and to speak to our hearts. We give you thanks. We give you praise today. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise before you're seated tonight. Amen. God is worthy of our praise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Let's get into the Word of the Lord for a few moments. But it's very easy for us to understand that there are many things in our world that are not complete until all the parts are put together in them. If we were to look at a car or a house or even the church, we can understand that there are parts. Praise God. When I look at the scripture here in Timothy that we read, it is very easy to see that there are two main parts to the church. And we can have one and not the other. But if we do, we're going to be lacking. If we have the other but not the one, then we are going to be lacking and not come to full maturity. And as members of the church, I believe that it is the same with us as individuals as well, that we can have one and not the other, or have the other and not the one, and come continually to the house of God, but never come to the fullness of the maturity that God has for us. I believe the scripture that says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there is a time for the milk of the Word, and yet there is a time for the meat of the Word. Paul told the Hebrews, he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, amen, it is time for you to go back and learn again, which would be the first principles and the oracles of God. And are become children and are not able to take the meat, but you can only drink the milk of the Word. Amen. It's the will of God that we grow from children in the Lord to mature adults in the Lord. Well, praise God. It is the will of God. It is the plan of God. In fact, God set it up so that this could happen, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Very powerful scripture here. Something that you could look at for quite some time and not you really get the fullness of what he's saying here. But the essence of it is that there comes a time through the ministry that God has placed in the church. And I thank God for the ministry. Amen. I thank God for preachers. I thank God for pastors. I thank God for teachers, amen, for prophets and apostles that are in the church, amen, because they all add to the experience of living for God, and they give us something that only they could give us, amen, something that we need. We all need teaching in our lives, amen. We all need pastoring in our lives. I do and you do. Amen. We need the evangelist. We need the prophet and we need the apostle. Praise God. And it is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. So that we can come into the unity of the faith. Amen. We believe the same thing. That word faith is not faith in God, but it is your doctrinal belief. It is your faith. It is what you believe. It is what you're standing for. Amen. Here in our church, we believe there is only one God. And we need to come to the unity of the faith in that. Well, praise the Lord. We believe that you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, John 3:5. And we must come to the unity of the faith in this. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. We must come to the place where we understand repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, yes, with speaking in other tongues. Praise God. And we need to come into the unity of the faith, of holiness, and separation from the world and living for God. Amen. And if we are not in the unity of the faith, then we have not come to the fullness of maturity. Amen. But there are some that it doesn't matter if others are not going to come into the unity of the faith. They've got their mind made up. I'm going to align myself with the Word of God. I'm going to align myself with the ministry in my life, and I'm going to grow in grace and become a mature child of God. Because when we are children spiritually, we are able to be tossed to and fro, amen, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. They're going to lie in wait to deceive, amen. But we are not of those that are blown here and blown there. Amen. We know what we believe. We know what we're standing for. Amen. We know the foundation that we are standing on tonight. Amen. We're secure in our position with God. Well, praise the Lord. We know where we are. We know where we're headed. And we know where we've come from. Praise the Lord. Don't come in and try to change the thing that God has established here, because there are too many here tonight that are going to stand up and say, we believe the truth, and it ain't going to happen. We believe in the rapture of the church. Praise the Lord. That it hasn't happened yet. Amen. We believe that heaven is coming soon, and it's not here on this earth right now. That's what we believe. Amen. We must come into the unity of the faith. I could just get off on this here tonight. Amen. But we must grow up into Him. Grow up into Him. Praise God. In all things. In all things. Which is the head, even Christ. Amen. And so when we talk about the church and we talk about the building of a church and establishing of a church, amen, you start out small and you begin to grow. At least that has been the way it has been here. It's not always that way everywhere. 20 miles from where I pastored in New Bedford, Massachusetts, there was a man that went to Fall River to start a church. In the first year, he baptized 90 people in Jesus' name. Amen. Would to God we could do that every year right here. And the day will come when we'll be doing that. Praise God. Amen. We started out with just a handful, but thank God it began to grow and it began to mature. Amen. And I want to preach to us tonight here at this particular point in time. Amen. If we are going to continue and continue to grow and mature and do the will of God, not just to continue to mature, but come to maturity and pick up the sword and pick up the shield, amen, and go out into the world and fight the good fight of faith, amen, and be overcomers and victorious, well, praise the Lord, and to win battles. Come on, to win battles and to overcome, amen, and to be a strong man in this area. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God invested strength into His church. God invested victory into His church. We're on a rock tonight, the solid rock. We're covered by the blood. Amen. We have the Holy Ghost tonight. We're not going to cower down to anything, but we're going to stand strong and do the will of God and have a revival. I said have a revival. Amen. If you don't want to have a revival, I'm going to have a revival in my life. I'm just going to draw a circle, and I'm going to have revival right there in the big middle of that circle. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. My goodness. Praise the Lord. I might just haul off and preach before it's over with here tonight. Amen. But I'm telling you what, friend, we're not giving in. We're not backing up. Amen. It's not in our vocabulary tonight. We're not talking about losing at all, but we're talking about strategy. Amen. We're talking about what we're going to do next. Amen. And we're going to reach people and have revival in Jesus' name. Go ahead, clap your hands to the Lord tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. Every good church will be focused on two things. You can be seated tonight. Amen. And I want to look at the two halves of the church. I want to call them the house and the field. Amen. And we've mentioned this in recent days here. Amen. But we have two parts found in 1 Timothy 3:15, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Amen. The word pillar here means a post or a beam or the structure. Amen. And the ground means the ground or the support for the pillar. Praise God. And if we are to examine these two parts of a great revival church, we're going to see that the ground is very first. But I want to talk about the pillar first here tonight. Amen. Because the pillar is the part of the church that is above the ground. Amen. It's not the foundation. It's not that which goes down to the rock, but it is the beautiful part. It is the building. It is the ministry that goes on in the building. Amen. The pillar is the established saints and the seasoned ministry. Amen. That offers a stable environment that has come to the place where nothing, I said nothing, is going to be able to stop it. Amen. The pillar that I see here in the scripture is youth night. Amen. Didn't we have a good time on youth night? Nobody wanted to go home. And it was 10:30 when we ran them out of here. Amen. We just had a really good time, and Pastor got a little carried away. Don't go passing that all around. Amen. But I'll just tell you this. If you're ever playing sorry, don't give Garrett any mercy whatsoever. Because he doesn't deserve it. Amen. Just say sorry. Well, praise God. The pillar is when we get together and we fellowship with one another. Amen. The pillar is when we begin to invest in our children in Bible quizzing. Amen. The pillar is supporters. Amen. Who know how and they know why they are giving consistently to the work of God. Amen. The pillar is the sound doctrine that we preach. Amen. That is irrefutable. I said it is irrefutable. There is only one God. There is not a trinity of gods. There is only one God. Amen. And the truth that is so beautiful in the Word of God, wherefore come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. I'm telling you tonight, I thank God for separation. I thank God for a clean atmosphere. Well, praise God. We're not here tonight to shove anything down anybody's throat. But I'm telling you what, there is something about coming out of the world and coming to God, the freedom that there is. Amen. You say, well, I can't drink any alcohol anymore. Honey, let me tell you something. I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore. Amen. I'm so glad I don't have to do the things of the world anymore. I've been set free. That's the pillar. That's the pillar. Amen. Pillar is the sound doctrine. Amen. The pillar is a beautiful building. Amen. The pillar is the Sunday school teachers. Amen. The pillar is a new converts class. Amen. The pillar is Bible studies. Amen. The pillar is preaching. Amen. The pillar is people, amen, who take the new ones under their wing and help them until they're strong. Got quiet there. Amen. The pillar is more than church attenders. It's more than an occasional convenience-minded person. I'm telling you tonight, the pillar is the beauty and the strength. Amen. It is what the world sees. Amen. It's what those that come into the house of God see. Amen. Thank God for the pillars in the church. Ephesians 3 and 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's your pillars right there tonight, friend. Amen. That Christ is going to dwell in our hearts by faith and rooted and grounded in love. Amen. We've established this thing of love, and we love one another, and we care about one another, and we pray for one another. I'm telling you tonight, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But when there are pillars and they are founded upon something that is solid, the winds can come, the storms can come, but the house is going to stand strong because of pillars. I'm preaching to some pillars here tonight. Amen. I'm preaching to people who are not easily shaken. I'm preaching tonight to people who are committed for the long haul. Amen. I'm preaching to people tonight that know how to edify and to build up. They're not here just to receive something, but they're here to give something. They're here to edify and to build up and to strengthen. Amen. They have discretion when helping others. Well, praise God. They're not given over to emotional upheavals. Amen. They're not given over, amen, to things that will destroy and hurt. But they are pillars. They know what they believe. They know where they stand. And they're secure with their relationship with God and with the church. Members in particular, amen, members in particular have become the pillars of the church. The pillar of the truth. Oh God, help us. Your pastor's not the only example. But there are pillars that you can look to that say, and you can say they love God with all of their heart. Amen. In fact, I would say tonight that there are pillars in the church that have done probably just as much, or maybe in some cases even more, to strengthen those that are weak. Because the pastor can't get to everybody. And the bigger the church, the more that is true. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I was somewhere here just a while back, and somebody came to me that has left the church and was in the church when I first got saved. As a new convert, he told me that I was an inspiration to him. But he left the church, and he said, I'm looking for a church. Oh, you're looking for a church. Yeah, I'm looking for a church that's not so big that the pastor can't come by every now and then and stop in and say hi and all of that. And I thought to myself, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you are now needing somebody to teach you again, and you have become a child. Amen. By now, you ought to be a pillar in the church. By now, you ought to be standing strong. Instead of expecting the pastor to do it all, you get in your car and go visit somebody and give them a word of encouragement and help them. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, folks, we need pillars in the church. Well, praise God. We need pillars in the church. Amen. And not easily shaken. Praise God. A pillar, though, is something that must be held up by something, the ground underneath the pillar. This church, I thank God for this building. Amen. It's been such a blessing. Oh, God, help us. underneath these pillars here, behind these nice columns. They go down underneath the church. I've been down there where the spiders are. And an occasional snake will slither in and out. And a cat once in a while. We had a cat or so underneath there. And I think there was a point in time that we had a skunk get underneath there or something. And we came to church and the smell was there. But you get down underneath there and there's big old giant concrete pads that these are sitting upon. And around the outside is a concrete foundation that has been poured that this building is sitting upon. And they didn't have the building codes back in those days. And so from that pillar to the very center where the pulpit is, there are, on 16-inch centers, there are 2x8s. That's why the floor is so spongy in the church. And somebody will run the aisles. And somebody like Fred and the whole house, the Bible says that the foundation was shaken when they prayed. Amen. They must have saw a vision of our church. And it can go up and down quite a bit. And dear God, help us when we have a rally service and all the men get up over here. I just pray, God, help them to jump in intervals. Because if they all get to jumping at the same time, this thing's going down. Oh, God, help us. And we're going to have a big hole right here where these people are worshiping the Lord. Amen. And yet the pillar has to be standing upon something. You can't just throw it out there and expect it to be strong and to hold it up. Amen. And Jesus talked about this. Luke 6 and verse 48, or Luke chapter 6 rather. And it says, let's see, did I get ahead of myself? No, I don't think so. It says, he is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And we know tonight that the rock is Jesus Christ. That's what we know tonight. It is the truth of the Word of God. He said in Matthew 16, 18, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, leaving that aside tonight, I want to talk about the ground. Amen. I'm not talking about the rock of truth that we are on tonight, although that is very important and essential, very much essential in building a strong church. Amen. The foundation of the church is the truth of the Word of God, and the Word of God is absolute truth tonight. Amen. But there is something even more basic than this. It is the ground. Amen. Shifty ground. You can put a rock on shifty ground, but it's not still going to be solid. Amen. You've got to put it on good ground. You've got to put it on something that is able to be molded and packed down. And when it's all said and done, it's not going to move anywhere. Amen. It's not going to move anymore because it has been settled. Amen. Shifty ground cannot be built upon because eventually it will not be able to hold up the weight of the pillar and the rest of the building. Amen. Jesus spoke of ground as being people. Amen. He said, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell upon wayside ground. Some fell upon stony ground. Some fell upon good ground. Some fell upon thorny ground. And so the seed or the Word of God, which is our rock, which is that solid place upon which we stand. Amen. The seed of the Word of God is sown in the ground. And it has to be good ground. If you're going to have a continual harvest, if you are going to do that, you've got to have good ground that you're sowing your seed in. And if it's not good ground, then you have to work it and you have to fertilize it And you have to do all of that sort of thing to make it good ground. Amen. I've come to the understanding that it doesn't matter if you're good ground or not to begin with, but if you've got a good farmer, if you've got somebody that understands ground, you can take that ground that's less than perfect, and over the course of time, you can turn it into something that will be useful, that you can build upon, that will give you a good harvest in the time of harvest. Praise God. And so the ground is people. Jesus talked about the ground as being people. Amen. The ministry of the church is not internal only, but it is external. Amen. Because when we go into the field, amen, and we bring in the sheaves, as it were, amen, we've got to bring in material that we can build and expand the ministry of the church. Well, praise God. I said that we can expand and build the ministry of the church. All increases in this world, all monetary increases happen. Well, there are places in our world, America is one of them, where we make increase of our monetary system just by printing paper bills and handing them out. But that's not a real increase of the monetary system. The real increase happens when they dig gold out of the ground and the deposit of gold grows. Amen. Real increase happens when they dig aluminum out of the ground and they build an airplane out of it. Real increase happens when they get steel out of the ground and they make a skyscraper out of it. And a place where businesses can go. Amen. Real increase happens when they dig coal out of the ground and they use it for processes and to make more materials to build things so that our world can increase. Praise God. Folks, we're not going to increase the church by having lights and fantastic things and shows and all of that. It's not going to be the real increase of the church. Thank God for the pillars. But I'm telling you what, we've got to have more than just the pillars. We've got to have the ground. Amen. I'm preaching about two halves of the church. Amen. You can have the pillar. In a lot of places they do. But they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. They've got great stories to tell. Fantastic things are happening, so on and so forth. I believe in our God doing fantastic things. Don't misunderstand me. But when it's all said and done, what is it built upon? I'm the pastor here. I got to preach this. Amen. I've got to talk to us where we need to be talked to tonight. Amen. Sorry, folks, I'm not a conference speaker, but I'm telling you what, I've got something that'll take you to heaven. I've got something that'll establish you for the long term. Amen. We've got to have more than just the beauty of the building. We've got to have more than just good music and good singing. We've got to have more than puppets. We've got to have more than crayons and prizes. Amen. We've got to have more than that. Amen. We've got to have a pillar that's strong and standing on a strong foundation. Which simply means tonight, and this is very simple, which simply means we've got to get people that commit their life to God and make a decision to live for God the rest of their life. Then they become the ground of the church. The ground that the pillar stands on. Well, praise God. Praise God. We're only going to grow to a certain point by having internal growth. And when I say it that way, I mean that. And I receive phone calls regularly, it seems like. Thank you for your message. It really helped me. We're going to have that. All of us are going to experience that all the rest of our life. But I hope that somewhere down the road in 4 or 5 years, Fred, you don't call me and say, Pastor, I got the revelation of one God. I'm going to feel like a failure. Amen. I'm thankful that you got the revelation. Amen. And that somewhere down the road, Brother Reed's going to call me and say, Brother Wirce, I just realized the Bible says we're supposed to love one another 20 years down the road. I'll be thankful. Amen. But I'll feel like a failure. Amen. And you understand what I'm talking about here tonight. Amen. Thank God for Courtney. Thank God for the others that are coming. This girl's got a hold of something. Amen. You can tell when they get a hold of it. Amen. But Courtney, it's not all just going to be the excitement of it. There comes a day when you're going to be the teacher. I know that sounds a little overwhelming, just like it was a little overwhelming when I told Anna, you're going to be the teacher. And she was like, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. But you know what? It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I remember telling some of you, you're going to be involved in Sunday school. And they looked at me like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? Sunday school? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you tonight, we cannot afford to come and just sit on the pew. I'm telling you, we cannot afford it. Amen. We've got to have growth. Amen. We've got to have growth, but growth is not going to come just because every time I come to church, I receive something. And I am growing a little bit because when for the time when you ought to be a teacher, you will regress back until you are a child again. Well, praise the Lord. There comes an age. There comes a time when you're handed a sword. Amen. There comes a time when they say you got to sign up because we might need you to fight. Praise God. There comes a time, amen, when I'm not here just to receive something from the Lord. Amen. When the time comes that if I got a problem, and some of you, I'm amazed, and I love you so much. Amen. If you got a problem, you don't tell anybody about your problem. Amen. But if there's somebody that needs help, you're there to help them. You're there to encourage them. You're there to strengthen them. That's the ground that I'm talking about tonight. And when you give your life to God and you begin to live for God, amen, there comes a time, there must come a time. And until that time, enjoy it. Enjoy your youth. Enjoy the excitement because it's only going to grow with time. But the excitement leaves, amen, when you get tired and you get bored. Some of these little ones here tonight, they love crayons. They get excited about a cookie. They get excited about a prize. Yeah. And their eyes light up and they get all excited about these things. But if I said, Deontay Brown, I'm going to give you a prize if you come to church Wednesday night. And Brother Deontay starts jumping up and down and says, I don't care what it is, I'm going to be there. I want that prize. Amen. But if all we had in the church was crayons and tables and paper, and every time we came, all we did was color, and we laughed, and we talked, we just had fun, told jokes and everything. I'm telling you tonight, it wouldn't be very long, and this church, it would not be very fun anymore. Amen. Don't put me down at a table and say, color that. I'll say, you color it. I got more important things to do with my life than to color in with something or other. Let that be for the young ones. They're going to grow up in this and they're going to grow out of this. Amen. But there are some of us who have come to the place, amen, where we understand that there are some things I need to shoulder. Praise God. You don't have to shout, that's all right, but there are some things that I need to shoulder. There are burdens that I'm willing to carry. There's an enemy that I'm willing to look at and to fight and to train to fight. Amen. I'm willing to engage him. I'm willing to understand what a battle is and to know what a victory is. Well, praise God. I'm not a child anymore. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I acted like a child. But when I got older, I became a man. Amen. Don't push me around, devil. I'm grown up. You're going to have a fight on your hands. I've decided I'm going to be something solid in the kingdom of God. I decided I'm going to be good ground. And I'm going to be available and strong for God. Strong for God. Strong for God. It's not about me anymore, but it's about Him. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the work of God. Hallelujah. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost? We had Holy Ghost in the beginning. Let's have Holy Ghost in the ending here tonight. Praise God. My God is awesome. Well, praise God. Praise God. Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah 54 and verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Sounds like an excited pastor right there. Let's expand this thing. Tired of this little tent. Let's make the curtains bigger. Anybody got any curtains? Let's bring the curtains. Let's make this thing bigger. That's one half of the church. That's the pillar. And if you're not careful when you're building a church, if you don't have two halves of the church, then Fred's over here in one corner holding it. Adriana's over here in another corner holding it. Courtney's over here in this corner holding it. Chas is over here holding it in this corner. And the pastor says, we're going to expand this ministry. And we all look around and say, there ain't nobody else but us. Who's going to do this? Who's going to bear this burden? Who's going to carry this load? And those that are carrying the corner say, we got to hold up more weight. He wants to expand this thing. He wants us to get out here, and there's more curtains now to hold up. There's more ministries to be involved in. There are more things to do. Come on now, somebody. You know that I'm talking to us here tonight. I feel this so strongly in my spirit tonight. Amen. Who's going to do this? I'm telling you what's going to do it. He gave it to us right here in Isaiah. I'm going to read a little bit further. He said, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Amen. And so he said, we're going to expand this thing. We're going to make the pillars taller. We're going to move the pillars out. We're going to lengthen the cords and make the curtains bigger. Amen. How are we going to do that? Tell you, there's only one way we can do that. We got to have more ground. We got to have more ground. Amen. We've got to have another spot that's solid and strong that we can drive the stake down into. That's not going to give way in the wind. Amen. A solid place, a strong place. And how's that going to happen? How can we increase the ground? There's only one way, folks. We've got to look out from the church to the field that's ripe, ready for harvest. And we've got to get another Brown family. And we've got to get another Reed family. And another Gladfelter family. Amen. We've got to get more singles and more families and more young people. Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm not preaching to little children tonight. Amen. It's not your night. I'm preaching to the adults that are here tonight. Praise God. I'm preaching to the long-term saints. that have been in the church a while. It's time you start making some phone calls. It's time that you start reaching out. It's time that you start praying. It's time that we get a hold of this thing and understand what God has called us to do. We're never going to expand the tent. We're just going to have worn out saints trying to hold this thing up. But we've got to have more ground. We've got to have more ground to put the pillars on that'll hold it up and strengthen it. Praise God. It's the will of God that we expand the tent. But it would be foolish tonight for us to build a church that would seat 1,000 with this group right here. It would become a negative thing. Amen. It would become a negative thing if we had a $10,000 a month payment on the church. And we push just to make the payment. That's not the will of God. I said, that's not the will of God. And I pray that that never, ever transpires among this congregation. Amen. We're not that interested in pillars that we're going to borrow ourselves into eternity and give away all of God's money to some bank somewhere in interest. Amen. We want to pay cash for whatever it is that we do, or God can just give it to us. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. How are we going to do it, Pastor? I'll tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to pray another Courtney through. We're going to pray another Phillips family through. Amen. We're going to reach out to some more Green family. Hey, that's kind of neat. We got Brown families and Green families in our church. Browns and Greens and Reeds. Amen. We got quite a mess around here, don't we? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you what, folks, we have got an opportunity before us here tonight. Amen. To strengthen the other half of the church. Thank God for the pillars. Thank God for the pillars. But if all you have is pillars, you're only going to build a tent so big. Because it can only support so much. It can only hold up so much. And what you do when all you have is pillars, then you start decorating what you have. And I've been there in places where it never grows. Nobody ever gets saved. Oh, but it's the most prettiest place you've ever been. And they're busy stocking the shelves. So busy stocking the shelves of the church that they don't have time for the customers when they come in. Do you have any of this? I'm sorry, I'm busy. I'm stocking the shelf. I'll get with you later. Folks, we can't do that. I don't believe that we're doing that. And that's not what I'm preaching tonight. But I want to preach about this second half of the church, the ground. Amen. There is so much ground. A sower went forth to sow. It does not say that there was a shortage of ground, but it does say that there was a shortage of the laborers. Amen. Pray ye the Lord of the host. He said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, what if we took that to another level tonight and we said, in our church, we're not going to have few laborers, but we're going to have many laborers. I'm willing to teach as many Bible studies as God will give me. Are you willing? Are you ready? Will you go the second mile and push yourself and go out with a bag of seed and tell somebody about the Lord? Oh, Pastor, I just love coming to the beautiful church. I love being in the glow of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you what, tonight, God's looking for some ground. Oh, God, He's looking for some ground that we can put a pillar on. Amen. He's looking for somebody that'll dig deep and set it on the rock, Christ Jesus, and set it on the truth of the Word of God, and get all settled down in there and cover it up and just stand there. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, like a giant oak tree that's 100 foot tall, or a sequoia that's 500 feet tall, just standing there, and the winds come and the storms come, but it just stands there. It takes the hits of lightning. It takes the strength of the storm. Amen. It bears the burden and the pressure that is placed upon it. It handles the heat of the sun and the cold of the winter because it's got its feet planted down deep. It's become good ground. It's become a part of the ground. Amen. I'm standing for God. I'm going to be something for God. Praise the Lord. Anybody feel the Lord in this here tonight? Amen. We need an outreach mind. Amen. We need to develop a mentality that I'm not complete until I'm reaching out to others. Amen. Folks, it's not about being on a committee or having a position or having a name tag that says this is what I am in the church. But I'll tell you what, your ministry will make room for itself. It's about souls. I saw a young man that came, what was his name this morning, that came on his bicycle? Dayton. How long has it been since he's been here? A couple years. Got a phone call, Dayton's coming to church this morning. He's going to ride to church with his bicycle. Praise the Lord. Where's the youth leader that's going to go visit him this week and knock on his door? Hey, man, we're glad you were in Sunday school this morning. How's things going? You don't have to preach the gospel to him, Fred. You don't have to open up your scriptures. You don't even need to take your Bible. Just drive by his house. Get his address. You're not here to fill this spot on this pew. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all are amening while I'm scowling Fred up here. But I'm telling you what, I'm talking to all of us here tonight. Oh, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm telling you what, the word can't is not even in the Bible. But the Bible does say, I can do all things through Christ. You can win that boy if you try. Well, praise God. You know what, these little kids, they love these LTLs here in the church. I call them LTLs, long, tall, and lanky. Those are our LTL boys. And Gavin come out of the nursery the other night. He come looking pretty good to church. But when he come out of the nursery, he wasn't looking too good. His tie was off. His coat was off to the side. He was wrinkled up. He said, man, that was something else. Praise God. Now you're getting an idea what goes on behind the scenes. Amen. It's not all about rolling dice and, hey, yeah, having fun. Amen. But somebody needs help. And these little kids, they look up to these tall boys. They look up to Nathan. They look up to Hunter. Oh, that's just a wonderful thing for one of these older boys just to talk to me. You know what? Just a word from you that says, man, it's great living for God. You know what it'll do in the minds of those little children? It'll make them think, you know what? If Gavin can live for God, I can live for God. We need some ground. I said, we need some ground. Amen. We need some ground. And there's only one way. It's when we stand up and say, count me in. I'm going to be a part of those that reach out. I'm going to be a part of those that affect somebody else's life. You say, well, I've tried and it didn't work. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm telling you what. You know what they call them in our generation today? They call them snowflakes. Snowflakes. Well, I tried and it didn't work, so I'm just going to quit. Snowflake. You know what? We don't need snowflakes. We need about 1 foot diameter hailstones. that do a lot of damage. Amen. We need some hard stuff. Praise God. We need some, well, if it didn't work out, bless your heart, I'm going to learn from this experience. And the next one, I'm going to learn what not to do. And I'm going to be proficient. I'm going to be efficient. I'm going to be the best that I can be for God. Well, praise the Lord. It's not a matter of if I win someone to God. It's a matter of when I win somebody to God. Praise the Lord. My pastor taught me this, and he didn't even realize it, but he made a comment on Sunday morning one time. I love to just be in Sunday morning because I love to hear him teach. He was a wonderful teacher. And I didn't want to do anything but sit there and soak it in. I only had the Holy Ghost 3 months. And all of a sudden, tap on my shoulder. Oh, hi, Sunday school superintendent. How are you this morning? Here, you need a place to sit? No, we need somebody to help us. Huh? Oh, you want to talk to the person beside me? No, I want to talk to you. Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. So they started using me in Sunday school. Then I got excited about it, and I started going out and knocking doors on Saturday and inviting children to Sunday school. And that Sunday morning, my pastor said, you know what? He said, you don't go get a big rifle and shoot down and hunt elephants. He said, you got to start learning how to hunt rabbits first. Go hunt a rabbit. Learn how to get a rabbit and shoot your .22 rifle. And then you can go on a safari and get you a big gun and get an elephant. That was his analogy. He didn't mean that literally. Is there some animal activists here tonight? I hope not. God help us. Amen. So I used to go rabbit hunting. Really enjoyed it. Amen. And we'd eat them too. Well, praise God. I'm getting off. He said, you know what? Before you win an adult, try winning a kid. And he said, you Sunday school, or you bus captains, when you go home today, look over your bus and all those kids that you're just bringing. It's just a program, and all the teachers are worn out. Nobody wants to do it, but we're doing it because the pastor said we got to do it. And they were all frustrated. He said, look on your bus, and tonight, tell them, say, come to church tonight. And he said, the most likely candidates to receive the Holy Ghost. So we started looking. I was single, and my then wife, girlfriend, Cindy, we said, let's look over our bus. And there were two children, and I forget their names now, but we talked to them on the way home on the Sunday school bus. Would you guys like to come tonight to church? Yeah, we would really like to come tonight to church. And we brought them to church that night, and guess what? Both of them received the Holy Ghost that night in church. And all of a sudden, I realized I can win somebody to God. I can do something to affect somebody else's life. Now, if you've got the mentality that you just really don't care, and you believe in that scripture that says, save yourself from this untoward generation, and that's all you're working on is yourself, after a while, you're going to get tired of your crayons. You're going to get tired of drawing things on paper. Stick men. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. My mom has been a mom for 1,600 years. He's never going to live that down. I love you, Garrett. Going to get tired of that. We're coloring again tonight. I don't want to color anymore. Oh, well, you're rebellious. You got a bad attitude. No, you only got half of the church. You need both halves. It's time to stand up, church. Come on, let's stand together tonight. It's time to stand up. I hope you can hear what the pastor's preaching here tonight. I hope you can hear it. I hope you realize that your pastor will get in and work just as hard as the hardest person here tonight. I'll get in and do my part. But I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm not the pillar and the ground. I can't hold the tent up by myself. I can't be one of the plots of ground where the stake is driven that holds it up in the wind. Got to have more ground. Thank God for all of you pillars that are here tonight. And God has blessed us. When Brother McFall came and preached here, some of you might remember him. He was here for 3 nights, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night services. We had really good church. And the very first service, the service began. And we began to worship the Lord. It was on Wednesday night. He turned and looked at me and he said, "This is a good church." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "I just know." He was an evangelist and traveled and saw many churches. He said, "This is a good church." And I said, "Brother, you're right. This is a good church. These are good people. And they love God. And they're pillars. And they support. And they strengthen. And they're there. They'll do whatever they're asked to do because they're pillars." But I'm telling you what tonight, we can't just have pillars. We've got to have ground. Lord, help us right now in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray together. I want you to pray and ask God to reveal some things to you. And ask God to help you. Lord, help me. Help me to be the pillar. But Lord, help me. Help me to be the ground. Help me to reach out to some ground that we may expand the tent, that we may expand the ministry, that we may grow in grace and grow up into Him in all things. Help me to have both halves of the church. Both halves of the church. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Kitandoro moho tale bakatini ahai. Shelo boko perendini amahatanai. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, let's just talk to the Lord for a moment here tonight. I'm not looking for a hyped up altar service. I'm just looking for results. Results from the Word of God. Come on, let's pray. You can be used of God. You can be used of God. The harvest is ready. The fields are white. They are ready for harvest. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Give us more ground. Give us more ground. Give us more ground. You said whatever our feet would tread upon, you would give us. Give us more ground. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God. Oh, God. Somebody's crying in this city tonight. They don't know which way to turn. And they need somebody to tell them. Somewhere in this city, in this area, there's a pastor that's frustrated. Doesn't know why. But his heart's reaching out for God. There's a church member that doesn't even know what they believe that needs somebody to just talk to them, befriend them, and help them and pray for them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I feel that travailing spirit here tonight. Oh, God, help us to cast our eyes upon the field that's lying in darkness that the enemy is harvesting from every day. Help us to be used of you, Lord. Help us to be used of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, young men. God can use you. God can use you. Oh, is there anybody else? I want to be used. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. Why don't you come and just stand here tonight? Present yourself to the Lord. Make a plan and begin to work your plan to be used of God. To be used of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What's your chorus?